Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour editorial. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Visit Hall in Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour, an editorial review, is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour, an editorial review, brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Natural Remedies Encyclopedia when we come back. You know, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep about 40% of what you create and produce. Government gets 60%. So that's about $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you think your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes, just like you did this year, and you're going to net about 25% and the government gets 75%, which means if you're working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to net $4,000 more. That's an 8% increase in take-home pay over this year, guaranteed by Congress and the IRS. So you work twice as hard, produce twice as much, and get 8% more. That's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners, and that's where you're at $100,000 a year, top 5% of income earners, and then only net 25% of it. Come on, boys and girls, surely we're smarter than that. Why don't you call today and order my free 4-hour CD package, and let me tell you how to deal with that kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information, and it answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is that we pay so much and receive so little in return. Now, to order that free general law CD package, fairly simple, just call direct 417-273-4967 and ask for it. That's area code 417-273-4967. If you're on the Internet, just go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click on the email machine and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, every day somebody calls the law school over some health problem. They'll have cancer or autism, or they'll have diabetes or something. I thought that there was 450 diseases. I looked it up in the encyclopedia and find that there are 730 diseases and disorders that are cataloged. And that's very comforting. You know, when you're feeling bad and you go to the doctor and he tells you that you have cancer, makes you feel good because there's a name that we can apply to this group of symptoms. The same doctor will tell you that we don't know what causes cancer and we don't know how to cure it, but we do have a treatment regimen for it. The treatment regimen costs $100,000, lasts 18 months, and 37% of our patients recover for up to 5 years. The other two-thirds, 66% or 67%, die. That's the cancer story. Is there any solution to the cancer problem? What about Alzheimer's disease and allergies and antibiotic herbs and antidotes and appendicitis and arsenic poisoning and arthritis and articular rheumatism and asthma and autism? And that's just the A section. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or atherosclerosis and arterial sclerosis. I mean, you know, that's the A section. And as we go through here, we have 730 of these diseases. Disease, it means dis-ease, ill at ease. I don't feel good. And when you feel bad, it can get to the point where you actually hurt, called pain. And people in pain need relief. So they go to a doctor, and the doctor has pain relief. He's there to sell pain relief. He's not there to cure those symptoms. He's not there to cure that disease. He's not there to eliminate or to tell you how to eliminate or to prevent disease. After all, that's bad for business. If there were no sick people in the world, indeed, if there were no sick people in the United States, it would cause a terrible dislocation in our economy because approximately 15% of the entire American economy is predicated upon disease. Healthcare, 15%. It's bigger than the airline industry. It is the biggest single industry in America, healthcare. 15% of the gross domestic product is dedicated to treating our 730 diseases. How would you like to be disease-free? You were designed to be disease-free, and your creator designed a process, a metabolic process in your body called your immune system, which regulates your body functions and eliminates all disease. If you could feed that immune system and avoid poisoning it, you would never have a single symptom in your life, in your lifetime of about 75 years. Guaranteed now, under the terms and conditions of the Old Covenant contract. Not very many people in America are disease-free. Now, it wasn't too long ago, though, that
most of us were symptom or disease free. Back during World War I, when America was drafting many, many young American males into the military, they discovered that 60% of those young men coming into the Army were totally healthy. They had no symptoms whatsoever. They didn't need glasses or hearing aids. They didn't have asthma or arthritis. They didn't have arterial or atherosclerosis. They were in perfect health, 60%. Now, that was the good news. The bad news was 40% did have symptoms. Four people out of 10, 40%, a very significant portion of Americans were sick. They had some disease. They had allergies, or they had rheumatism, arthritis, atherosclerosis, arterial sclerosis, or scurvy, or beriberi, or they needed glasses or hearing aids or whatever. Of the 730 diseases, they had one or more of these symptoms. Now, that was about 1918. Now, today, do you think it's gotten better? That maybe 75 or 80% of us now are healthy and only 20% of us are sick? I mean, after all, with the great advances of medical science, you have to admit that medical science has made giant strides. And 1918 was before penicillin. You know, it was before wonder drugs and ERs and hospitals and 911. No, sir, we are not healthier today. In fact, 99% of Americans have symptoms. Only 1% today are symptom-free. So if you're like I am, you've got symptoms of some kind. Now, I'm an old man, and so because of that, my excuse is, well, my body's old and wore out, and so I've got some symptoms. But I'm still in better health than most of the students that walk in my door. Now, I haven't always been this way. I did have some bad health. I had heart trouble. I had a heart attack. I've had pneumonia 3 times. I mean, I've been one sick puppy. And then one day, I decided that maybe there was something that was missing in my life. Maybe there was something that I could do that would straighten out my health problems, and indeed, there was. And I thought I'd share that with you. And the book that I'm going to share with you is not exactly a 1 in 100, but it's about a 1 in 20 read. There are a lot of health books out there in the marketplace, and a lot of them are really good. I've read a lot of health books, and a lot of them are really good health books. Now, the reason that this book stands head and shoulders above most of those other books is because this is called the Health Encyclopedia, and it contains about 840 pages. I mean, it is a big, thick, heavy-duty dictionary encyclopedia-type book. And it has all 730 diseases and disorders listed in alphabetical order, with more than 11,000 home remedies to treat them with. And the reason that these home remedies can be very important is because allopathic medicine does not know what to do for Alzheimer's disease. They know how to treat it, they don't know how to prevent it, and they don't know how to cure it. And they don't know how to cure cancer. They know how to treat it, but they don't know how to cure it, and they don't know how to prevent it. Don't know what causes it. Well, this book will tell you, here's what causes it, here's how you avoid it, and here's how you treat it if you get it. Here's how you get rid of it. Now, not every one of these 730 diseases and disorders have cures. Some of the natural remedies that have been used for thousands of years to treat ordinary common symptoms, you know, like scurvy. I'm going to flip over to scurvy and tell you what causes scurvy, and I'm going to give you a couple of examples of how this book works, and I think that you're going to be impressed. We flip back here to the index, and we take a look at S, and S for scurvy. And we find that scurvy, S-C, let me see if I can find this here, scurvy, S-C-U-R-V-Y, is on page 388. So I'm going to put that down number 14 here and show you something. Scurvy, S-C-U-R-V-Y, and then page number 388. I've reviewed probably 50 of these articles, and I'm going to share some of them with you and show you how to use this book. I'm going to recommend it to you because someday it may save your life. Now, as long as you have plenty of money and health care insurance and you can go to the doctor in the hospital, you probably don't have a problem, and you probably feel safer being a medical incompetent relying upon the doctor. I mean, I have students who come in here. There's one the other day, and she was from California, and a wasp flew by her head, and she screamed. And then she jumped up and down, and she went through gyrations. And I looked at her like, my God, is she having an epileptic seizure? Is there something going on here that maybe we're having a medical emergency for which I may need to call 911? I mean, this woman, she didn't get stung by this critter. He just flew by her head, and it just terrorized her. She's from the city. She had been out here in the country. Now, us country boys, you know, we see bees and wasps and hornets and yellow jackets, and they're stinging critters, and I get stung 2 or 3 times every year. And they feel bad, and they hurt a lot. And I don't like to get stung, but I don't have gyrations, and I don't get really excited about it when it happens. It's one of those kind of things like getting cut by barbed wire, you know, you don't like it, but then it's part and parcel of life, you know. Well, the woman survived, believe it or not. The stinging critter flew by her head, and you know, as life would have it, she did not die from that close encounter with this bee. But you know, sometimes people do get stung, and then they have what they call allergic reactions. And of course, the question arises, why? Why is it that George Gordon does not get an allergic reaction when he gets stung by a hornet or a wasp, and you do? You ever wonder about that? Is it just bad luck on your part? Is it genes? Is it the roll of the dice, or is there something lacking in your diet that if you had whatever it was that I've got, that you too could get stung by a bee and it would be hurtful and painful, but it wouldn't be a medical emergency or life-threatening? How about allergies? So I want to show you that there's only two causes for all 730 of these diseases and disorders, two causes. If you got a pen, if you got a piece of paper, write this down, because it's going to simplify this whole mystery of medicine. And it's this: all disease, all of these diseases and disorders that mankind is afflicted with are caused by two things. Here they are. Write it down. Starvation, number one, or poison, number two. You're either being starved to death or you're being poisoned to death. And it may be a combination of the two. You can be suffering from both poison and starvation at the same time. But it's one or the other, or a combination of the two. It isn't genes. It isn't lactose intolerance. It isn't bees that have stings. It isn't that you have asthma and you just got a bad roll of the dice, that there was just some bad luck involved. It has to do with starvation. That is, there's something missing in your diet, something in your body that you don't have. Or you got something in your body that ought not to be there, something that wasn't designed by God to be there. Now, I know that seems to be overly simplistic, and if you've been to public school like I have, you probably can't grasp the simplicity of medical competence, but I'm going to see if I can help you along that line. Let's take a look at scurvy. Let me show you a little something here about vitamin C deficiency. Here's the symptoms. Short article. Doesn't take but 5 minutes to read it. The symptoms to scurvy are swelling and bleeding of the gums, tenderness of joints and muscles, poor healing of wounds, and increased susceptibility to bruising and infection. You may have rough, dry, discolored skin. Scurvy may occur concurrently with gingivitis. An infant with scurvy is comfortable only when lying on his back and his knees partially bent and his thighs turned outward. His bones are less capable of retaining calcium and phosphorus, causing them to become weak and eventually brittle. Causes. Scurvy is a malnutrition disease caused by a diet that is deficient in vitamin C. Here are the natural remedies for scurvy. Scurvy responds in as little as 2 to 3 days to a daily intake of 100 to 200 milligrams of vitamin C. Gradually increase the dosage as the patient is able to do so to 1,000 to 3,000 milligrams for 30 days. Fresh fruits and green leafy vegetables are also rich in vitamin C. In order to promote blood and bone repair from damage caused by scurvy, a well-balanced diet that is high in protein and iron is also needed. Supply bioflavonoids, vitamin P, which work closely with vitamin C, and these will be found in foods with vitamin C. That's all there is to it. It's called scurvy. Hold on a second. All right, we're back. Get rid of that static. All right, now the first lesson, and there's lots of diseases like beriberi and scurvy and a whole host and plethora of these nutritional deficiency diseases. Very simple to cure. You simply supply the deficiency to the patient and the disease, and the symptoms go away. You know, the swelling and the bleeding of the gums, the tenderness of the joints and muscles, the poor healing of wounds, increased susceptibility to bruising and infection, rough, dry, discolored skin. That's all there is to it. All you got to do is take vitamin C. All right, now, if you had these symptoms and you were feeling kind of poorly, and maybe you were irritable, or your child was irritable and feeling bad or something, you'd take this child to a pediatrician, wouldn't you? Or if you were feeling this bad, you'd go to the doctor and you'd say, "Oh my God, doc, I feel real bad." And he would give you a battery of tests. I mean, after all, how do we know if you're deficient in vitamin C, et cetera? Now, he'd look at your symptoms, your bleeding gums, your discolored skin, and he'd probably, based upon his experience and so on, say to himself, "You know, this guy's probably got scurvy." And the solution to the scurvy thing over here is vitamin C. Now, the doctor is an entrepreneur. Doctors are in business to make money. After all, they make their living off of sick, weak people who are medical incompetents and unable to treat themselves and cannot figure out for themselves that they have a vitamin deficiency. I mean, after all, that's why you go to a doctor. I mean, look, boys and girls, if you knew what the problem was and what the solution was, you wouldn't need a doctor, would you? If you knew you had scurvy and you knew the solution was vitamin C, you could go down to the health food store, buy a bottle of vitamin C, come home and take it, couldn't you? Okay, well, out of 730 diseases and disorders, now there's only 729 that you don't know about. Scurvy, you now know about, don't you? Now, you're going to forget this radio program. You're going to forget this story about scurvy. You will not be able to remember this. But if you had this book, this encyclopedia, and assuming you've been to public school and you were able to learn the alphabet and you could get up to S, and assuming one more big assumption, that you could spell the word scurvy in the index and then read the number, which is page 388, and then turn to scurvy, and if you could read this article over here, hell, you could take care of it yourself, couldn't you? Okay. So there's only 729 diseases and disorders now that you're medically incompetent concerning. There's one disease now that you're a medical competent, and that is scurvy. See how simple it is? It's a simple disorder caused by a shortage of one vitamin called vitamin C. Let me ask you a question. Could it be that all of these 730 diseases and disorders over here are caused by a lack, a starvation, a malnutrition, a need for one of these vitamins or some mineral? Now, there's 92 minerals that you need and about 15 vitamins, as I recall. About 15 of these vitamins. And if you had the knowledge, I mean, you don't have to go to medical school to do this. I mean, you don't have to have a Rhodes Scholarship and, you know, go to medical school for 7 years and serve an internship and become a medical doctor. If you did that, you probably would have no recovery. You probably would be as incompetent as the medical profession. I mean, after all, this book is filled with the cures. I mean, if you want to cure cancer, we can cure cancer. You want to cure heart disease and stroke, we can cure it. You want to cure Alzheimer's or autism, we can cure it. You got asthma, you can cure it. You got diabetes, you can cure it. Did you know that? And long before there was medical science, there were people with diabetes. They didn't know they had diabetes. You know, 1,000 years ago, when some guy was having a diabetic coma, people were looking around at this poor guy and they'd say, this guy has something wrong with him. We haven't got a clue as to what it is. Thank God allopathic medicine came along, hung a label on it, copyrighted it, and then patented the cure for it, which is insulin, and solved the problem. And now when you have diabetes, you're under the doctor says you've got diabetes, he has the tests, he gives you a prescription, you go to the druggist, he gives you insulin, you come home, you shoot up with insulin, it solves your problem. You're a lifelong dependent on the medical establishment. You cannot live independently any longer of the allopathic medical establishment. You're locked in. You are now a cash cow for the pharmacies, pharmaceutical industry, and medical doctors. And that's good for business, and I'm very happy for pharmaceuticals, I'm happy for the stock market, I'm happy for doctors, okay? And it's good for business. And it represents 15% of the gross domestic product, and God bless them all. I mean, doctors, pharmacists, stockbrokers, investors need to make a living too. It's just that they're going to have to make a living off of somebody else. Little Georgie Gordon doesn't want to support them. So I'm not going to get diabetes. Sorry. And I know how to prevent it because I know what causes it. And then if I had it, I know how to cure it. And I'm going to show you how to do that before we finish this series of programs. So I started with scurvy because I wanted to show you that that's one disease that has a poison. Now, let's look at, has a nutritional deficiency. Now, let's take a look at poison. I'm going to flip back over here to the index again. Going back to my third grade experience with Mrs. Wiles, who taught us how to look up in the index poison. Look at this. I look at poisoning, and it says page 594 to page 607. Page 594, poisoning. Oh, my God, there's aluminum poisoning, arsenic poisoning, blood poisoning, chemical poisoning, chemotherapy poisoning. Chemotherapy, isn't that what the doctor gives you when you've got cancer? Yeah, he gives you chemotherapy poisoning. Then there's cadmium poisoning, copper poisoning, dental poisoning, DDT poisoning, fluoride poisoning. Fluoride, isn't that something that you put in your drinking water, boys and girls? And then there's food poisoning, food additive poisoning, heavy metal poisoning, lead poisoning, mercury poisoning, MSG poisoning. Gosh, isn't that what we put in our food in the Chinese restaurant? MSG. Then there's mushroom poisoning, nickel poisoning, ptomaine poisoning, radiation therapy poisoning. My God, radiation therapy poisoning, isn't that what we do to cure cancer? And there's vaccination poisoning. Oh, my God, vaccination poisoning. Why, don't we take our children to be vaccinated before we put them into the public schools? Poison girl? Yeah, there's about 15 types of poisoning here. And each one of these types of poisoning over here can kill you. In fact, if it doesn't kill you, it'll make you real sick. So let's just pick one over here. You know, let's take chemical poisoning, page 595. Now, there are 89,000 chemicals in common use in the United States. I'm looking for page 589. Let me flip over here, page 585, 87. Here we go, page 589. Am I on the right page? No. I got off point here. Let me go back to poisoning over here. I wanted chemical poisoning. It's 595, excuse me, page 595, not 89. All right, 595, 603, 594. Here you are, chemical poisoning, symptoms and effects. 89,000 chemicals are running around in our society. Many of these chemicals are running around in our foods that we buy. I mean, just go into any store, any supermarket, just walk down any aisle, pick up any product. I don't care if you're picking up Oreo cookies or you're picking up a package of Oscar Mayer weenies. Turn to the ingredients. And then you're going to come to some words that are three or four syllables and have many letters and combinations that you do not recognize and cannot pronounce. And that's assuming that you went to public school. You will not be able to pronounce those words. Those are chemicals, boys and girls, and those chemicals go into the food to preserve it, to make it look a different color than it normally is. Or if it isn't a coloring chemical, it's a it's a preservative chemical or it's a freshener chemical. No, MSG is a chemical. And these chemicals oftentimes kill you. I mean, just take a look at your Oscar Mayer weenies or bologna and it'll say sodium nitrite and sodium nitrate. Then you look up these sodium nitrite and nitrate and you go, oh my God, they're deadly poisons. Fortunately, like arsenic in the chicken feed, we don't put it in quantities large enough to kill you right away. That's bad for business. See, if we put sodium nitrite or sodium nitrate into the Oscar Mayer weenie in concentrations that would kill you, and you put this weenie in the bun and you slathered on some onions and relish and mustard and you ate this weenie and then you grabbed your throat, gasped for breath, fell on the floor dead, immediately people would get a bad impression of Oscar Mayer weenies. And they wouldn't eat them. They wouldn't buy them. It'd be bad for business. So we are very careful not to put too much sodium nitrate and sodium nitrite into the weenies. We just put a little bit in. Enough to kill the bacteria. Enough to kill the bugs. But not enough to kill you because, see, the bug's a little guy and you're a big guy, and so a little bit of poison kills the little guys but not the big guys. Now, unfortunately, as time progresses, you develop in your fatty tissues concentrations of sodium nitrite, sodium benzonate, and many, many more of these chemicals. And pretty soon you come up with chemical poisoning, long, slow process. Now, sometimes you get chemical poisoning and you'll get it rapidly, and you can get it from some chemical in your house, and you can get poisoned in a hurry. And now there are solutions to poisoning, and we call those antidotes. So we'll take a look at antidotes as soon as we get through with the chemical poisoning here. I'm going to show you another factor that along with starvation, there is poison, and your symptoms are going to come from one of these two sources. Once we get that under our belts, we'll take a look at some of these 730 diseases and disorders in logical, systematic order, and we'll just knock off the mysteries concerning these disorders, and I'll show you how to cure them. Hang on a second. I've got to give you a reminder, and that is that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, economics, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. And you should also be informed that the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that these authors or publications that we endorse are going to recommend the Law Hour and editorial review, or that they're going to reciprocate by saying, well, that guy Gordon is really a good guy, and you ought to listen to his program. And they don't do that because most of the authors and publications that we cite on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour or editorial review, or vice versa. So just because I'm suggesting that you buy this book and it's got some good information, it doesn't mean that these people that wrote this book are going to recommend me or that I believe everything that these people recommend. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. If you're slow, try it again. It's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we're looking at chemical poisoning here. Let's take a look at what are the symptoms and effects. A remarkable variety of symptoms can occur. The following are common, and that is stuffy nose, watery eyes, diarrhea, ringing in the ears, nausea, upset stomach, eczema, depression, headache, fatigue, bronchitis, asthma, and arthritis. I want you to underline the word asthma, chemical poisoning, asthma. All right. Now, where are found? Well, we live in the chemical age, and chemicals are in the air, water, earth, food, and drink. We find them in the materials, surfaces, and fabrics in our lives. It's impossible to escape them, but with care, we can reduce the rate at which these hazards cause us harm. So let's take a look at metals. Metals such as mercury, chrome, nickel, and beryllium produce skin rashes. Aluminum is a primary cause of Alzheimer's disease. Lead causes anemia. Dental fillings containing mercury can poison the system. Poisons like herbicides, pesticides, insecticides, fungicides, fumigants, and fertilizers seep into the soil, groundwater, and wells. These poisons are taken up by the plants which animals, birds, and humans eat. Then they pass on into milk, eggs, meat. The toxic substances are in the fruit and vegetables that we eat. Food additives. There are food preservatives and additives. There are artificial colorings, flavorings, and odors. These come from coal tar and lead to cancer. Waxes are on the fruit, and their added sprays are on the vegetables. There are ripening agents and defoliant chemicals. And that's just the beginning. There's other poisons. There are toxic fumes, dangerous chemicals, and radioactive wastes. The rivers and lakes are polluted with poisonous runoff. Smog is full of these chemicals. There are hairsprays, treated bedding, animal hair products, paint formulas, and exotic cleaning formulas. There is benzene from solvents, styrene from plastics, formaldehyde from pressed wood products. Smoke arises from cigarettes, cigars, and burning forest fires. We hardly have time to worry about old-fashioned dust, molds, parasites, and diseases. We now live amid an onslaught of chemicals and radiation. And for additional information, in case you want some more bad news, please see poisoning on page 594, food poisoning on page 585, and the poisonings listed on the contents page of this chapter from pages 556 and 557. These include aluminum poisoning, arsenic poisoning, cadmium poisoning, copper poisoning, DDT poisoning, fluoride poisoning, lead poisoning, mercury poisoning, nickel poisoning, and radiation poisoning, which I covered a little earlier. All right, so there you are. Now, most people can look at me and they say, oh my God, you cannot escape these chemicals, so there's no point trying. Which is almost like saying, oh my God, there's so many cars going up and down the street, there's no way to cross the street without getting run over by one of them. Well, it's true, there's a lot of cars running up and down the street, but with a little skill and a little care, we can probably navigate a crossing of the street without getting run over. And with a little skill and care, we can probably navigate life without being mercury poisoned or cadmium poisoned or radiation poisoned, you know, if we just use a little reason, logic, and common sense. But the point of my story is this. If you're sick, if you've got symptoms, well, you either are suffering from a scurvy-like malnutrition, or you're suffering from a poison, any one of 89,000 of which we've only covered 10 or 15 of them here. And you could have some kind of a real weird exotic poison that maybe doesn't affect 90 other people but affects you and 9 others. You know, there's a broad range of susceptibility. I often kid my wife. I say, no, I could eat anywhere. I could eat at McDonald's. And she looks at me like I'm nuts. McDonald's. Yeah. You know, I'm in pretty good health. You know, I can go in and stand up, you know, a shot of poison and it doesn't kill me. And my immune system is at a level of competence or a response that when a bee or a hornet stings me, it doesn't send me into shocks and it doesn't create a life-threatening condition. But in some people, it does. Now, if you're one of those people that gets stung by a bee and you have to be rushed to the hospital for a cortisone shot, you know, I feel for you. I hear you. I understand that. I'm not making fun of you now. But how would you like to overcome that? How would you like to get your immune system up to a point in its operation where when a bee stings you, well, it's okay, it hurts and it's painful, but it's not life-threatening. How would you like to get to a point in life where your asthma attack isn't life-threatening? As a matter of fact, everybody gets a shot of asthma from time to time, and there's various causes of it. But some people have asthma in a very acute form, and it's life-threatening much of the time. People are living with their little breathers. They'll come to class here, and they'll take a shot of their breather, you know. And you kind of look at them, and they look a little funny, and they put their breather away, and pretty soon he brings his breather out again. He, you know, and he sucks on his breather, and he puts it away. He's kind of self-conscious and feels kind of bad because everybody's looking at him, saying, the guy has asthma. Now, there's a cure for asthma, and there's a treatment for asthma, and doctors treat asthma because that's where the money's at. Let's think about this pragmatically. You got asthma, and you go to the doctor. The doctor gives you an inhaler and some prescriptions and one thing and another. And he now has you as a perpetual customer. He tells you, well, we've got to treat this asthma very carefully. It could be life-threatening and it could kill you. And we've got to be on top of this and you need to come in again next month. So he's got you coming in once a month. And he has you filling out a prescription. You know, he fills out a prescription for you. And you're taking this prescription drug, which is a chemical. All of these prescription drugs are chemicals. It's probably not a natural herb or a natural food because you can't patent those. Pharmaceutical companies aren't dumb, they're businessmen. And they want a complex chemical. For instance, let's take this vitamin C with scurvy. You see, vitamin C is very natural. You can get it in a whole host and plethora of foods. You don't have to go to the doctor and get a prescription. You don't have to go to the health food store and get pills. You can just get it out of the food you eat. If you knew which foods had vitamin C, you could just eat those. And then that would give you vitamin C and that'd be it. But you don't know that, and so you go to the doctor, and so he gives you this chemical patent, ascorbic acid. It's a patented vitamin C. And it'll work, and it'll cure your scurvy. But listen, did you know that vitamin C is a complex food? Yeah, when God designed it, he added some other little thingies that go into it. We'll talk about that as we progress along here. But this vitamin C isn't just ascorbic acid. That's what they sell you over the counter because they can synthesize that from coal tar, which is a lot cheaper than synthesizing it or taking it out of some, you know, leafy green vegetable. And that's why natural vitamin C costs more than the chemical synthetic type. Now, I personally think that the natural type of vitamins and minerals are better for you. I always figured that, you know, if God made it that way, he did it for a reason. And the medical profession and pharmaceutical people, you know, being businessmen, entrepreneurs, et cetera, are interested in making money, bottom line. And so when they give you vitamin C, they're going to give you the vitamin C that they can produce the cheapest and charge the most for. And you can produce vitamin C out of coal tar a lot cheaper than you can out of tomatoes. And therefore, you can make more profit off of it because you're going to sell it for the same price. And then they'll tell you, well, vitamin C is vitamin C is vitamin C is vitamin C. And that's not true. It's a lie. But then businessmen aren't known for necessarily telling the truth when it comes to making money. And after all, business is business. And ethics are ethics. And religion is religion. And niceties are niceties. But, you know, business comes first. Nothing personal. It's just business. So now that we have this under control, that is poisoning, and I just took one of the poisons, just chemical poisoning, and there's many other types of poisoning. You can get mercury poisoning, and this book will explain with an article and tell you what the symptoms of mercury poisoning are and how to get rid of it. You need to get the mercury out of your body, boys and girls. I mean, if you're suffering from mercury poisoning, I know this is a wild stretch of our imagination, but let's think about it. Let's suppose that you've got mercury poisoning. In fact, I'm going to turn to mercury poisoning here. Let me turn over here again to our alphabetized index, and then it says disease index, and I'm over here with MNOP. Here's P. Now let's look for mercury poisoning, page 601. So I'm going to put down mercury here. And so I don't come back to it again. It's number 16. We'll try mercury, and it's on what page? Did I say it was 601? 601. And I'm going to flip over here to mercury poisoning here on page 601. I'm going to show you a little something here. This will just blow your socks right off, called mercury poisoning. Short article, it's not very long. Now, people get this mercury poisoning, and there's a lot of political talk. Have you noticed that when you burn coal, for instance, in a power plant, you get the smoke comes up, goes through that big stack, and it blows out over the Ohio Valley, causes acid rain. Well, there's a lot of mercury that's coming out of that and settles out on the plants, and then the cow comes along and eats the plant, and then that mercury goes into the milk, and then that milk goes through the creamery, and the creamery puts it in the bottle and sends it off to the Kroger store. You buy it at the Kroger store, and you're drinking mercury out of your milk. And so this mercury over here has some symptoms. Here's the symptoms of the disease. Allergies. Oh, my God. Allergies. I was watching the news last night, and the weatherman comes on, and he says the pollen count is high in case you have allergies. Did you know that mercury poisoning causes allergies, anxiety, metallic taste, gastroenteritis, burning mouth pain, salivation, abdominal pain, tremors, uncontrolled crying, vertigo, nausea, and vomiting? Got any of those? Mercury poisoning can lead to colitis, kidney disease, dermatitis, asthma. Did you get that asthma? Underline that one again. Asthma. Mercury poisoning can cause asthma. Do you know that a lot of you people that have asthma, do you know what your problem is? You're being poisoned. Poison does it. Chemical poison causes asthma. Mercury poisoning causes asthma. And as we read through the encyclopedia, we find a lot of people that have a lot of symptoms, have a lot of causes. And these causes all fit together. Poison, poison, asthma, poison, poison, asthma, poison. Oh, why do you have asthma? You're being poisoned. If we could eliminate those poisons, would your asthma go away? See, I don't have asthma. But I avoid poison like AIDS, herpes, and VD. I mean, I'm an old man already, and for me to be running around sucking up poisons isn't good for my health. And for me to say, gee, my gosh, there's 89,000 chemicals out there. I can't avoid all those chemicals, so why try? You know, it's like crossing the street saying, oh, my God, there's so many cars. Why try to avoid them? Let's just walk across the street and take our chances. Now, sir, every time I cross the street, I'm very careful. Boy, I'm looking both ways, and I'm watching, you know, for cars and crazy drunk drivers, you know, so that in case that guy doesn't see me, I can jump out of the way. I don't trust green lights and red lights. I may cross the street when the light's green, but I'm always watching both ways in case there's some colorblind guy that can't tell red from green. And so far, after 66 years, I have avoided being hit by an automobile at any time for any cause or reason. So far, as they say, knock on wood. Going on. Hair loss. I'm suffering from hair loss, gingivitis, mental and emotional disturbances, and nerve damage. It is believed by many that multiple sclerosis is caused by mercury poisoning. Now, think of that. All of you people out there with multiple sclerosis, have you thought that maybe what you're suffering from is mercury poisoning? And the doctor calls it, well, you've got these tremors, so it's multiple sclerosis. Did you know about half of the diagnoses that are made by medical doctors are incorrect? Half. I read that in Reader's Digest. Yeah, Reader's Digest, a mainstream magazine, you know, of the mainstream media, Reader's Digest. About half of all the diagnoses are incorrect. You read stories all the time in Reader's Digest about people that are sick, and they go to the doctor, and they give them all these bogus pills and treatments and diagnoses. And then finally, after months or years, a doctor gets it right and says, well, here's what your problem is. You got mercury poisoning. Did you know you could get the mercury in your body out of your body? Did you know that there's a way to get these chemical poisons out of your body? It's called detoxification. Let me repeat that. Detoxification. Yes, it's true. You can get those chemicals out of your body and eliminate 50% of these 730 diseases and disorders by simply getting the poisons out. Then there's another real neat collateral effect that comes from that. The symptoms go away. Yes, sir, Rebob. You get rid of the cause and the symptoms just go away. And that's called a cure. So if you've been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, you may in fact have multiple sclerosis. But if you've been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, you may in fact not have multiple sclerosis, but you may have mercury poisoning. And oftentimes doctors mistake their diagnosis of mercury poisoning for multiple sclerosis and vice versa. Now, arriving in the brain, this mercury is stored in your brain and produces dizziness, insomnia, weakness, fatigue, depression, and memory loss. Symptoms in a child include hyperactivity, irritability, depression, and behavioral changes. Now, here's where mercury is found. Mercury is more toxic than lead, and it can be ingested or inhaled. It is stored in the brain and in the fat. All right, so if you've got mercury poisoning, it's in your brain and it's in your body fat. At normal temperatures, mercury tends to change from a solid into a gas. This means that the mercury and the amalgam fillings in your mouth are always ready when the opportunity presents itself to pass into your saliva and to be swallowed. Acids in the food provide that opportunity. Amalgam fillings is over 50% mercury, and minute amounts of methyl mercury are released from the tooth fillings as you chew your food. Eventually, this passes into the organs and your brain. Nearly 100 chemicals are placed in mouths by dentists, including mercury, copper, nickel, beryllium, zinc, phenol, formaldehyde, and here's a word I can't even pronounce, and acetone. Mercury is also found in streams, lakes, fish, shellfish, and sewage. Well, we generally don't eat too much sewage, but some of us eat some fish, shellfish, and we sometimes drink water out of streams and lakes, don't we? Now, the problem is that it is added to insecticides, herbicides, and fungicides. Grains and seeds are frequently treated with mercury to keep out bugs, and we would rather eat a stray bug than mercury. That's a wild new concept. Would you rather eat mercury or a stray bug? Gradually, these substances have gone into the rivers and lakes, contaminating the fish. Mercury is also included in fabric softeners. Oh my God, fabric softeners. Well, you just pour it right into your wash water. Polishes, wood preservatives, latex, solvents, plastics, ink, and some paints. It's in cosmetics. What? It's in your lipstick. Laxatives, which have, here's another one of those bad words, C-A-L-O-M-E-L, calomel. Some hemorrhoidal suppositories. By the way, we can just apply it directly, can't we? And a variety of other medications, like vaccines and vaccinations. Solutions. Read labels. I'm going to underline that. Read labels. It's a wild new concept. And use nothing containing mercury. Avoid mercury sources and the mercury environments. Remove the mercury amalgam fillings from your teeth. Now, that's a wild concept. I did that a few years ago. I removed all of the mercury amalgam fillings from my teeth. You will not believe the static that you're going to get from your dentist. I mean, your dentist is going to jump up and down, paw the ground, bite the bushes, rant and rave. He's going to have an apoplectic fit when you tell him, I do not want mercury fillings in my mouth. He's going to look at you like you're stupid. And he might even tell you that you're stupid. Now, he's not doing that for no good reason. You see, they've been using these mercury amalgam fillings in teeth now for, 100 years. And they have to keep up the ruse. You see, it's purely legal. It has nothing to do with health, safety, or welfare of the public. It has to do with... Can you imagine the lawsuits when it ever becomes publicly accepted that mercury amalgam fillings cause mercury poisoning? And these dentists have been poisoning millions of people for decades of time. So the dental profession has to promote it and tell you how safe it is. Same thing was going on, with this mercury in the vaccines. So out in California, they said, well, we think that maybe, just could be, we're not sure, but it is possible, that the mercury in the vaccines is causing autism. So they abolished it. And there has been a precipitous drop in the number of autism cases in California. So over the years, when I was a kid, 50 years ago, they used to give you two shots, two vaccines. And then as the years went on, today it's up to 35. The average kid by age 5, now average kid in America by age 5, has 35 vaccines pumped into him. All of them contain mercury. And the number of children with autism has been skyrocketing. It's an epidemic. We just can't figure out what the hell's going on here. And so to maintain the ruse, the pharmaceutical company said there's no scientific evidence that mercury causes autism. But out in California, when you take the mercury out of all of the vaccines and shoot the kids up with the vaccines, we find that autism takes a precipitous drop. Okay, I just throw that out for your consideration. I'll talk about Alzheimer's as we progress along. We're about out of time. We're running a little short here of time. But I just wanted to show you in program number one that there are two causes to your symptoms. Two. That's it. I mean, in all of the whole great big wide world of medicine out there, there's only two things that give you these 730 symptoms of disease. It's either one, you're starving to death, or two, you're being poisoned, or a combination of both. And you're probably poisoned. You probably got mercury fillings in your teeth, and you're probably running around with insecticides and one thing and another in your environment and so on. And you're probably not getting enough vitamin C and enough vitamin P and enough vitamin B and vitamins. And you're probably suffering some symptoms like tunnel carpal syndrome, or you've got headaches and migraines, or you've got asthma or allergies, etc. There's something wrong with you if you're normal. If you're normal, there's something wrong with you. God, if that isn't an oxymoron. Now, in America, 99% of us have symptoms, and we would like to get rid of as many of these symptoms as is possible. So I want you to stay tuned for our next exhilarating program, and we'll take a look at some very common diseases, like Alzheimer's disease. Hell, we never heard of Alzheimer's disease 50 years ago, boys and girls. Where'd that come from? And did you know that there are antibiotic herbs? Did you know that before penicillin, dihydrostreptomycin, and all these wonder antibiotics, that there were antibiotic herbs? Did you know that? Well, let me tell you about antibiotic herbs, and I'll tell you about poisoning and what to do when you get poisoned and how to get that mercury out of your body. All right, we're about out of time, so I'm going to close today's program with a reminder that you have been listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the law school at 417 is the area code, 273-4967. And the Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night. Thank you.